Mike Hearn is the curator of a new exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art entitled Chinese Gardens, Pavilions, Studios, and Retreats. I asked him what the purpose of gardens are in China and the art about those gardens.
The garden in China was a place of retreat where you could find the sanctuary of nature in your own backyard, so to speak. Gardens have a long history in China, first as game parks for the emperors, but more recently, in the last 1,000 years, gardens were a place where gentlemen could relax, could imaginatively go on journeys into the natural world, even imagine himself being transported into an immortal realm. So the concept of the garden is one of escape as a place of solitude, of sanctuary, of meditation. So all of those traditions and all of those purposes are really focused in garden architecture in China.
So if people come here, what are the parts of the exhibit that they get to see?
So we've divided the theme into 8 discrete areas, according to the 8 galleries that surround the garden. We open with a room devoted to palaces and palace architecture as a framing device for the garden. Then there's a room devoted to pavilions and immortals. The whole idea of a pavilion is it's both a focal point for the view and also a place from which to view the world. And oftentimes these pavilions were built in high places to attract immortals, these sprightly figures who could give us the secret of long life. And so there's a whole lore devoted to discovering immortal realms. The third gallery is devoted to secluded temples and rustic retreats. Throughout China's history, the idea of being able to withdraw into the natural world, sometimes as a sanctuary to escape political turmoil, at other times simply to find a place of reclusion, retreat from the hectic world of commerce or government, was a very important theme that was which inspired paintings. And oftentimes, if you were too busy to actually go into the country, you could unroll a scroll and vicariously experience the whole concept of finding seclusion in the natural world. A fourth room is devoted to the literary gathering. In China, the garden was often a place where people moved furniture from inside out into the garden spaces and hosted gatherings of men who could share poetry, painting, literary discussions within the natural environment, oftentimes celebrating a changing of the season, so to look at plum blossoms that are coming out. So we have some famous examples of illustrations of parties that actually took place in garden settings. A fifth room shows how gardens and paintings of gardens were inspired by historical gardens that date back at least until the 7th century AD. So in the world of the Chinese scholar officials, scholars like to pride themselves on their command of history. And so in their paintings, as in their gardens, they made an effort to evoke earlier gardens of famous poets, famous officials. So you get this thematic return to famous literary figures and gardens of traditional China. A sixth room is devoted to the denizens of the gardens, particularly the different fish and fowl, the birds and scaly animals that dwelled in the gardens, these wonderful choice specimen animals that were brought into the garden to emphasize the role of the garden as a kind of special microcosm. And artists love to focus on these birds and fishes and other animals as a way of emphasizing the specialness of the environment. Finally, we explore the four seasons and the flowers and plants that represent those seasons in the last two galleries. One of the highlights is a series of 4 scrolls that show the changing seasons in a landscape. And then we have a whole case devoted to paintings of plum, bamboo, and pine, the 3 friends of wintry weather. I think this is a wonderful opportunity to understand how China has always seen itself as a garden paradise, how it is a nationality that is focused inward on self-cultivation and the importance of gardens as a place for self-cultivation, rather than being interested in exploring the world or projecting power, in China, the ideal has always been to look inward and to cultivate the self.